Let me invite you this morning to take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Mark. That's where we'll be this morning. For the next 2 weeks, we'll be in Mark chapter 2, and then when we get to Palm Sunday, which is the 24th of March, we're going to begin to move our attention toward Resurrection Sunday and toward Holy Week and all that is accomplished in that week and in that time in the life of Christ and also in the life of His church. And so I want to share from that story, and I want to share with us what it means for us as believers and kind of the demands that it places upon us as believers, as followers of Christ. And so that'll be the 24th and then the 31st of March. Today I want to pick up where I left off last week. I talked about last week that Jesus offers this kind of new medicine. He's like a doctor that's offering a new kind of medicine for the soul. And so in that same place in the scripture, he talks about new cloth or new fabric or new tapestry. He also talks about, after that, he talks about new wine. And so he's using these examples to communicate to the people there in that time and place that he's on the scene. He has come. The kingdom has come. The kingdom of God is here, Jesus says. And with him comes new things, new people, a new culture, a new work of God in the world. And so Jesus is teaching this way. I want to read the passage and then share some thoughts from there. So in Mark chapter 2, I'll read from verse 18 to verse 21. Now, John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. And some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" And Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse." In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Apostle Paul writes this, "The old has gone, the new is here." Paul refers to what happens when Jesus comes into the life of someone. And we all could share testimonies, perhaps, of how our lives became new in many different ways when Jesus Christ really came into our lives and really took hold of us. For some of us, when we were children, maybe we walked forward in a church and shook the pastor's hand and joined the church and was baptized, and yet we didn't really have the sense that our lives had become Jesus's, that we had given our lives to him to have and to work in us, and so that we can't really say that our lives became new. But Paul is talking about what happens when Jesus really comes into the life of someone and takes that life and begins to do a new thing. New things come about. They become really like new people. Well, this passage in 2 Corinthians 5:17 really is Paul repeating the truth that Jesus teaches about in Mark chapter 2. It's just that in Mark chapter 2, Jesus is using a new piece of cloth to make his point. No one, he says, sews a patch of unshrunk cloth to an old garment. The old and the new, perhaps this is a different way to hear it, don't go together too well. One shrinks and the other tears. Some of you might know something about fabric. I know we have some quilters in our church, and quilters know that different fabrics can go together. They know how to take different fabrics with an eye for design and patterns and begin to weave and create a new kind of fabric, a new tapestry, as it were. Now, I don't know if Jesus knew a lot about cloth or about weaving, but I do know that Jesus knew a lot about people. And he knew a lot about what God wanted to do with a new kind of person or a new kind of people. Jesus was put on the spot in our passage today. And this happens again and again as he's interacting with people, as he is out and with groups of people. Jesus is put on the spot. When he's asked why his disciples did not practice fasting like the disciples of the other religious leaders, in particular the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees, Jesus answers the question by calling to mind something that happens with a groom and a groomsman at a wedding. Now, if you've been a groomsman or if you've been a groom, you kind of know this dynamic. They get together a day or two before the wedding, and they party. They laugh. They dance. They cut the fool. They drink. They enjoy being together. They enjoy the last days and hours together as a band of friends and brothers. It's not just the groom and the groomsman that do it either. It's the bride-to-be and all of her friends as well. They enjoy the last days and hours together as a group of friends, as a band of brothers. They don't fast. I've never been together with a group of groom and a groomsman where they're fasting. No, that's the last thing on their mind. Fasting is for a different purpose and for a different time. Jesus' point here, he says, now is the time for feasting, not fasting, because I'm here, he says. It's Jesus bringing to light that he is creating a new kind of thing with a new kind of people, and he's making the point here. My people are not fasting, they're feasting. He alone has the authority. Jesus alone has the authority to create a new kind of person and a new kind of people. Jesus is like the doctor practicing a new kind of medicine. And Jesus' medicine is medicine for the soul, for the heart. Jesus is like the groom participating in a new kind of celebrating. And Jesus is like the weaver working with a new piece of cloth. And the new thing Jesus is doing in people results in joy and freedom. There's a sharp contrast here between the disciples of John, the disciples of the Pharisees, and the disciples of Jesus. Jesus says, my disciples are feasting because I'm here. And what they're enjoying is a new kind of joy and a new kind of freedom. And Jesus doesn't say this in the passage, but you can almost hear him say it. And I'm not going to stop them. I'm not going to stop them. Matter of fact, it's what I'm creating. It's what I'm fashioning is, in a sense, what Jesus is saying. Jesus is like that expert weaver, creating and weaving a new fabric. And when I say a new fabric, what I mean is a new people, a new kind of people, a new community of believers and followers that are marked by the kind of celebrating that Jesus creates, by joy and by freedom. And there are some other things that I think identify this new community of followers and believers in Jesus that I'll refer to toward the end of my message. There was something about the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees. They were a part of a following. They were a part of an old garment. Now, I'm not sure all the ways to describe the kind of community that these disciples were a part of, the disciples of John, the disciples of the Pharisees. I've got some thoughts. Maybe these disciples were trying to breathe life into an old way. Maybe these disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees were trying to cling to an old kind of lifeless form of
their religion. Maybe in their following, they were not able to experience joy and freedom because they were too focused on keeping the rules. These are just my guesses, you know. I'm just trying to think. How might you describe these disciples of John and these disciples of the Pharisees? Maybe they couldn't experience joy and freedom because they were unsure about the ones that they were following. Maybe they were unsure about where the Holy Spirit was at work. Maybe these disciples of John and the Pharisees were longing for God's very presence, but they were not seeing God. They were not feeling God in their religion and with their spiritual experience. These disciples were taught about God, but they were never experiencing God. Maybe they weren't sure why they were fasting. We can know this, that what those disciples had was an old fabric, an old piece of fabric. Jesus was different. He was the authority. And that's what this series of sermons is about. It's about the fact that Jesus has the authority. It doesn't mean that Jesus has the kind of authority that we might think of, where he kind of lords it over people and is harsh and punitive over people. Jesus actually says, my way is different than that. He says, my way of leading is servant leadership. And it is not to lord it over people. So the kind of authority that Jesus exercises grows out of who he is as a servant leader, laying down even his very life for those who were following him. Jesus is and was very different. He was the authority on the scene there that day. And his authority allowed him to do this very thing that I'm suggesting he was doing. His authority allowed him to weave a new fabric. And when I say a new fabric, what I'm talking about is a new kind of people, a new kind of person that Jesus is creating, a new kind of community of followers, a group of followers with a new purpose, a new focus, a group of followers of Jesus with a new joy and with a new freedom that they found in Jesus. So that these words are true. The one who is in Christ Jesus is free indeed. Jesus has the authority and goes to work creating, weaving, crafting a new kind of fabric, a new kind of person, a new kind of community in this world. And I'll be honest with you, in this world, we need Jesus' kind of community. We need him to fashion his community, his people, his culture. The last thing the world needs is my culture, what I fashion, what I create. Today, Jesus is still doing this work of creating and fashioning and weaving a new fabric of people. You're a part of it here at Robertsville. Every one of you is a part of what I believe Jesus is doing in this work. He is still doing this kind of work of creating and fashioning a kind of people. A people who need Jesus' kind of medicine. A people defined by the joy and freedom that Jesus gives and brings about in people's lives and in the culture of groups like this. I mentioned this last week, that Jesus is weaving a new kind of community of people who understand the value of knowing and being known, of loving and being loved, of accepting and being accepted, of giving and receiving. Now, let me touch on a couple of those, talk about it a little bit. When I talk about giving and receiving, I want to be clear about it. Too often in our time and in our time in history, there's this kind of mindset that here we are, the church, the people of God, blessed by the Lord, and we're surrounded by people who are in need. And so what we're going to do is we're going to extend to those people who have needs the things that we have to meet their need. And I'm not suggesting that that kind of transaction is not biblical or blessed of the Lord or prompted by the Holy Spirit in us to reach out and help to our neighbors and to our friends and those that we don't know, the strangers among us. But I think that there's a different way, perhaps, of relating to each other. That really, in actuality, the person that I look at and I see them as a person that has a need, and I have the ability to meet that need, and so I'm going to go to the extent of meeting that need. And if it remains just a one-way transaction from me to that person, then what that the direction of that transaction kind of looks like this. I'm the person that has, and they're the person that needs. And so I'm going to provide and seek to meet that need. I think there's a better way to view that transaction or that relationship. So when I talk about the giving and receiving, what I'm really talking about is a giving and receiving in mutuality. So that what it really means is that rather than it being a transaction this way, the transaction levels out and it's more like this. Whereas I reach out to someone that has a need and I am able to and I seek to meet that need, what I begin to recognize is that the person that I'm reaching out to meet their need actually is someone that I have need of. And there is something that they have that I have need of. Now, it may not be material or monetary. It may not be a need for food or shelter or clothing. But I can tell you there's a need that I have for relationship. There's a need that I have for camaraderie. There's a need that I have for laughter and joy. So there are needs that I have that when I reach out and I begin to see the person that I'm reaching toward as someone that's on level ground, I begin to see in that person someone that can then begin to minister to me and can begin to meet the needs that I have. I have experienced that kind of transaction time and again. And as a church, as a people that Jesus is creating and fashioning, I don't believe that Jesus is creating kind of a one-way transaction. I think that he's wanting to create something that is a back and forth of giving and receiving of person to person. And we begin to see the other person as someone who is on level ground with me. And I have as much need as they do, and they have as much ability to meet my need as I do to meet theirs. And it's when I begin to change my perspective and vision of the other person that the Holy Spirit begins to do a really cool kind of work between me and another person. That doesn't mean that I have to fix that person. That doesn't mean that I have to approve of that person. It means that in that person I see the image of God. And I see someone who is on level ground with me at the foot of the cross. And we can be in relationship with one another this way rather than this way. And sometimes this kind of transaction, I'm not always up here. Sometimes I'm down here and the person that I'm relating to is up here. And that doesn't feel real good. But the Lord has a way of kind of changing that dynamic and leveling the ground. All through the scriptures, you will see this kind of language, that the way is made straight. The crooked paths are straightened. The rough places are made plain. The valleys are filled in. The mountains are collapsed. And the way, the highway, the road on which we travel is made level. It's all throughout the scriptures. So that's one detail I wanted to touch on. Another detail that I want to touch on is this idea of accepting and being accepted. I want to be clear about this. Accepting and being accepted, not for the old that has been in my life. I'm not asking anybody to accept all of me. There are some things that are unacceptable about me in my brokenness. So when I say being accepting and being accepted, I'm not talking about for the old that has been. I'm not talking about accepting the old of us that is without Christ. What I'm talking about is there being a dynamic between us where we accept and are accepted for the new thing that is becoming in us. We accept and are accepted for the new thing that Jesus is doing in us. So I want to qualify that a little bit. So, this medicine, this new kind of medicine that Jesus is offering to us, this new kind of fabric that Jesus is weaving, this new kind of culture that Jesus is creating, one of joy and freedom in Christ, one of knowing and being known, of loving and being loved, of giving and receiving in mutuality, of accepting and being accepted for the new thing that Jesus is doing in each of us. So by creating a new tapestry of people, Jesus is molding and shaping a group of people who possess his culture. So think about the Old Testament story of the potter and the clay. God is the potter, we are the clay. He takes the clay and molds it however he wants to. He can do with that clay, that vessel, whatever he wants to do. He can break it, he can remake it, he can mend it, he can shape it and purpose it however he wants to. He is the potter and we are the clay. Well, Jesus is molding and shaping us as his people however he chooses to, but for the purpose of creating his culture among us. Jesus' followers were a different kind of people then. It was very obvious that Jesus' people, his followers, his disciples were different. Very obvious, painfully obvious. It brought about confrontation even. Your disciples are feasting and we're fasting. Now you tell me what's up with that, Jesus. It was very obvious the kind of culture Jesus created. It was very noticeable. Well, Jesus is shaping today that same way. The followers of Jesus were different then, and they are just as noticeably different today. There is just something different about the followers of Jesus and the culture that Jesus creates in the midst of a person and in the midst of a people. You just can't ignore it. When Jesus is weaving a people together, it's a different kind of thing. It's a different kind of tapestry. It's not one that we would put together. It's not one that we would develop and mold. It's his doing. Each one of us in this room today, each one of us is a different kind of thread. A different shade. A different texture. We come from different places with different upbringings. We have different callings in life, different professions, different levels of education, different kinds of housing, different life experiences, different values, different worldviews. And there's no good reason that this group ought to be able to be together and stay together except that Jesus is doing something. But Jesus does not weave such a diverse tapestry in order to preserve the old. He weaves such a diverse tapestry. He does not do it to preserve the old. He does not do it to keep the old ways that have been. He does not weave a diverse tapestry of people to preserve the old in us without Christ. We will discover after Easter that Christ is not only alive, but Christ is alive in me and in you. And that places some demands on us as people and as a community. What Jesus is weaving is not a culture that is old and without Christ. Jesus takes all of it, all that we are, all of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. He takes all of it and works with us like a lump of clay forming and shaping us, like cloth weaving us, like threads fashioning us. As the only authority among us to be able to do it. Nobody else has the authority to shape us and to create our culture except Jesus. And because he is the only one with that authority, Jesus goes about fashioning a new tapestry. His new people, his new culture in us and among us. And just like that groom and those groomsmen, that's worth celebrating. Jesus the groom is here weaving into us a new joy and a new freedom and a new celebration. Jesus is here authoring a new experience of grace. A new experience of grace. We don't just talk about grace around here. It cannot just be talk. It has to be experienced. Grace, a new experience of grace among us. Of knowing and being known. Of accepting and being accepted. Of loving and being loved. Each of us giving and receiving from each other. Each of us, as diverse as we are, and different as we may be, each one of us essential to the new tapestry Jesus is weaving at Robertsville. And the Jesus-woven tapestry that I'm seeing here these days, it is new. And it is good. And it is beautiful. Yeah, and I praise the Lord for what he is doing. I want to leave us this morning with a couple of questions to think about. And these, don't try to answer them right now. I don't want you to. They're just provocative to get you thinking and praying and searching the Lord for an answer. The first question is this. How am I seeing this new tapestry of people taking shape at Robertsville? The Lord says in Isaiah, I am doing a new thing. Can you not see it? It's almost as if through the prophet Isaiah, God was saying, I am doing this incredibly new thing, and you don't even have eyes to see it. You don't even have a desire to perceive it. Can't you see what I'm doing? So, I ask us this same question. Can we see it? Can we perceive it? What this new tapestry of people is that is taking shape at Robertsville? I'll tell you, I don't think it's just the same old thing that's always happened. I think it's of a different kind. The second question is this. What are some essential qualities of the culture Jesus is creating at Robertsville? We could all go back over time and we could think about the life of Robertsville and all that happened at Robertsville from its inception, its beginning in the early to mid 40s, all the way through the 50s, the glory days, and the 60s through the 70s, where there was a little bit of a train wreck, and into the 80s and into the 90s, and it just felt like things were kind of going this direction through the 2000s and then the 2010s, and now we're in the 2020s. And we can think about and call and name all the people that influenced the culture of this place. The ways that things were done. The ways that decisions were made. The kinds of interactions that were acceptable and tolerated. things like that that help to shape the culture. So my question is this: what are some of the essential qualities of the culture, not that people like you and me would create, but that Jesus... We're going to find out what that is. I think it means that this right here is old, and it's time to find a new one. So bear with me. I don't want that to be too distracting. So I want to offer just a few ideas of what these essential qualities are that I believe. First of all, the first one is this. I do believe that there's a new joy in Christ. That's just a part of the culture, a new joy, laughter, freedom, like the burden seems to be off our shoulders. It's just, we can kind of breathe a little bit. So it's a new kind of joy. The second, and that's joy in Christ. Let me be clear about that. Okay, the second thing is this. There's a new kind of freedom in Christ. I see it in worship. I see it with people that that express themselves to the Lord with just a kind of a freedom in Christ. That's not to lay that off on anybody else, but I'll tell you, if the Lord is working in your life to, in a way, call you to express your worship to Him a certain way, and you deny it, and you say, no, I don't worship that way. No way. You can pay me money to do that, preacher. Well, then what I would say is maybe there's some room in your life for some new freedom in Christ. Just a thought. That's something I've had to deal with in my own life. Well, I think that's something that the Lord is doing here, a quality of Jesus' culture here. There's a new freedom in Christ among us. A third quality, there's a new celebration of Jesus. A fourth one, there's a new way of us being obedient to Christ, of aligning our lives to the way of Jesus. I think Jesus is fashioning these things here. And then this last one, there's new identity in Christ, that who I am as a person, as a man, as a husband, father, as a pastor, a community member. Who I am in this world is identified by Christ Jesus, not by me, not by the world, but by Jesus. And so my identity in Christ then aligns my life in every way to the person of Jesus Christ. And I think He's fashioning that here among us. Those are just my ideas. You answer that question in prayer. Lord, what are some of the essential qualities of the culture that You are creating, Lord, at Robertsville? I pray that He'll lead us. He'll speak to us, open our eyes and our minds. He'll reveal some fresh words to us. If this is God's established word, accurate and trustworthy and authoritative in our lives as believers from cover to cover, everything in between, the Lord speaks a fresh word about His established word. New words of insight and understanding and knowledge about the established word. New insights about how to apply this word to our lives in this world today. I call that a fresh word. So the established word and the fresh word. And the Lord wants to speak and continue to speak a fresh word to us as Jesus creates His culture here among us. And as He continues to weave a new tapestry of people here among us. So Lord, You have Your way. Thank You for Your word that encourages us and challenges us, Your Holy Spirit that teaches us and convicts us and reminds us. Lord, we want to have hearts that are open to You, minds that are open to You, Lord, to Your Holy Spirit, spiritual eyes and ears that are open to You, and bodies, arms and hands and feet and legs, bodies, Lord, that are ready to respond to You in whatever You would say and however You would lead. Lord, have Your way in us as we wrap up this time of worship. Lord, Your work doesn't stop. Your voice doesn't grow silent. Your hands and Your arms do not still. But Lord, you keep working and you keep speaking and you keep moving. And Jesus, you keep shaping and creating and fashioning a people, your people here at Robertsville, your culture, Lord, here at Robertsville. Jesus, you build your church to be strong and sustained with your new people, Lord, and your new culture, Lord Jesus. All for your glory, we pray. Amen.